You know what? Get over it, because we've got a country to run and that's what I've demanded of them.
I wish ScoMo and Joshy every success.
Government members do not trust each other.
I'm a bit lost for words. That doesn't happen very often.
The Wrap. The Wrap.
Well, we are not lost for words. We've got so much news to wrap up. Karen Percy is with me. She's an ABC Melbourne journalist, and Bevan Shields too, federal editor for the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. Welcome.
G'day,
hello,
g'day.
PK.
Oh, okay, let's just start trying to understand what's happened in Australia this week, because it's been big. Karen, let's start with your big story, which is the nation's big story, really. You've been covering the news about Cardinal George Pell this week. In December, of course, a jury found him guilty of sexually abusing two choir boys in 1996. But the verdict could only be reported this week. Huge news. Now we all know, and he's behind bars.
That's right. Really quite. I mean, there's so many unprecedented things here. We've never seen anybody this high in the church. We've never seen a lawyer apologise for those appalling plain vanilla comments the way we've seen Robert Richter. The scenes outside the county court in Melbourne were absolutely extraordinary. And considering George Pell was able to actually, through most of the trial in November, December, just get out of the car, walk without any kind of encumbrance at all, walk in and out of that court, and then the zoo that was this week, Tuesday and Wednesday. So it's just been really extraordinary on so many fronts. And just the arguments, the whole kind of the plea hearing, where even though they're still saying he's not guilty, and they have to say that because that's the position they've been holding the whole time. But during a plea hearing, you actually have to make submissions about a sentence. So you actually have to start talking, well, it was only on the plain vanilla side. So, you know, that's kind of, it's expected that there'll be some kind of manoeuvring that doesn't necessarily fit within the narrative so far, but the words were beyond the pale. And it's been, you know, with the breaching of the suppression last year with all those international agencies and Judge Peter Kidd sort of really quite uptight and upset by so much that's happened. It's just, I've covered a lot of courts and I've never seen anything like it. Bearing in mind, I did not sit through the trial, but I've sat through some of the other hearings since.
So with the news of the verdict, we also heard a statement from an unidentified victim of George Pell. In fact, this is the victim that gave the evidence that really led to this outcome. And he gave this statement through his lawyer, Vivian Waller. Let's hear it.
I am not a spokesperson about child sexual abuse. There are many other survivors and advocates who bravely fill this role. I am just a regular guy working to support and protect my family as best I can.
So, Bevan, we heard it there. That's the lawyer. So this person is completely anonymous publicly and yet has been so instrumental in all of this. And now, Bevan, we've seen a lot of opinions about whether this could have happened or not. And yet, no one's actually heard this person's evidence.
No, there are a lot of sudden legal experts here. I mean, just on Karen's point about how many aspects of this case are amazing, what I found amazing was, have we ever before seen two former prime ministers effectively support a convicted pedophile before? I mean, that's what happened this week. John Howard and Tony Abbott.
Not Malcolm Turnbull.
It's easy to mix up your prime ministers.
Yeah, well, there's been a few.
Yeah. Too many former prime ministers. Both basically backed Pell. And I found that quite extraordinary. Their supporters argued they're doing what a lot of people might do in that situation, which is stand by your friend regardless of the circumstance. But, you know, I never was convinced that Tony Abbott would have a problem, a big problem in his seat at this election. But I think that those comments will have gone down like a lead balloon in Warringah, and will be really, I think, the ramifications of his support, it's going to take a long time to wash through, but they could be quite significant.
Yeah, what do you think, Karen? Because we've also seen a split, if you like, among right-wing commentators. Ray Hadley this week, who's a, you know, well-known shock jock in Sydney, went on the attack, really, to Tony Abbott and John Howard, criticising the fact that they had supported George Pell. And just to be clear, because there is a legal process, Cardinal Pell is appealing this and he maintains his innocence. But either way, this attack from Ray Hadley showed to me that there is genuinely, this is kind of, this is an area that's dangerous territory.
It's You cannot be predicting what an appeal might be. You know, there's been so much discussion about, you know, what this complainant said, when really it's only the 12 men and women of that jury, the legal team and the judge who've actually heard any of that. So we can't speculate about that, and shouldn't speculate about that. Now, that will probably be likely to be, if the appeal goes ahead, is going to be cross-examined by the judges who look at it. I guess the thing for me too, when, you know, you're mentioning the character references, is that it was also that some of the wording within John Howard's, for example, that got me was the lively conversationalist is kind of a strange thing. I understand standing by your friend, and I understand he's made all these contributions, but lively conversationalist is a kind of an odd one. It's just like, oh, well, he's good at dinner parties, and that sort of seems to be a bit flippant and not understanding the pain that's been caused here, and that so many lives have been affected. The victims who were in the court, or the victims' families and others, and the folks outside from the Carers Leave Australia Network and others who were had banners and were heckling and jeckling and jostling, the pain is real for those people. They may perhaps be misdirecting it, because what Judge Peter Kidd was this week saying too is, I'm going to be sentencing this man on these five charges that a jury of 12 found him guilty of, not his perceived misdeeds within the Catholic Church and how we dealt with the pedophile issue more generally, and his perceived arrogance. And I'm not going to be sentencing on any of that. I'm sentencing on these five. So I think there's a whole lot of stuff that has been wedged into this case in so many ways. But I do think words like plain vanilla, lively conversationalist are just really not striking the right note here, not understanding what this is about.
No, and just very briefly, because I want to get onto another topic, but I'll give you the word on this, Bevan, but Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister, has really taken a very different tone on this, hasn't he?
He has. He's probably found the right tone, where he speaks first and foremost about the victims, notes that there's an appeal going on here, but has made no effort whatsoever to personally and publicly support Pell. And that's probably, you know, the right balance that needs to be found here. And, you know, as Karen says, there's an appeal going on. Some public figures, the closer we get to that appeal, are going to need to be quite careful about their public comments, even though they'll be heard by judges. I think they've probably got a responsibility to cool it and let the court process reach its conclusion.
All right, let's talk about the other big news, and that is two more senior Liberal MPs will retire at the next election. This is Christopher Pyne speaking to David Bevan on ABC Adelaide last week.
Are you going to stand as a candidate at the next election?
I've been pre-selected for Sturt, and it's my intention to run at the next election. Right. I said it about two dozen times.
So we are not going to hear a shock announcement between now and sometime before the election, I've decided to give it away.
No.
Mm. And then the other one, Steve Chobo, who just yesterday his office said to me that this is, you know, a Labor stitch-up or something, a Labor smear, not true. And yet, Bevan, it appears both are true.
Amazing.
or not.
I mean, there's just been a little bit of lying going on here. And that wonderful word, intend to contest,
intending.
Also was deployed very carefully by Julie Bishop, who repeatedly said that right until she stood up in Parliament and pulled the pin. Look, you know, rightly or wrongly, it's a bad look, more senior ministers walking away from the government. There's good reason why the public would look at this and go, oh, here we go again. I printed out a photo today of the Tony Abbott's first ministry after the coalition came to power in 2013. And I went through it and put a little cross over everybody that's either left parliament, you know, been dumped from the front bench, or is about to leave parliament at this election. And of the 42 members in that first Abbott ministry, 60% are gone or going. So it's a huge turnover. And even of Malcolm Turnbull's ministry after the 2016 election, about 40% have gone. So I think it just feeds into this public, you know, perception that they're going to the election, the wheels are falling off the bus, there's sort of smoke everywhere, it's all a mess. And, you know, Labor knows this. They've been very quick out of the blocks. They've already released some images that shows the sort of sixth serving or former ministers who are all leaving, and this very menacing-looking picture of Scott Morrison, and the text is, if they don't have faith in Scott Morrison, why should you? And it's, I think, you know, you could make a case it's good for people like Christopher Pyne and Steve Chobo, who've been there for 20 years, or in Christopher's case, 26 years. The generational change is good, but it's not a great look right now. Morrison will make some announcements tomorrow that will try to limit the damage, and that will be, I think, will probably be well received. But yeah, and nobody can say with confidence that this is it. The last time we had a big round of people going, we were all told no more, this is it. We've now got these two, and I think there will be at least two other senior people who will leave, announce that they're leaving at the election.
How does it look, Karen?
Well, it's interesting. I saw Barry Cassidy tweet at some stage today where before the 2013 election, Labor had four senior people, Smith, Combe, a few others, and that, you know, this is now six, and if Bevan's right and it's eight, I mean, that's pretty extraordinary. I mean, it's not surprising if you're looking at, you know, how many years, you know, in the wilderness, and you've got the ability to go and do something else, and let's face it, this is the time where you might get a nice patronage job somewhere, you know, you might be looking at ambassador or some kind of nice cushy trade or some kind of business connection. So, you know, this is the time to do it. So I guess it's not surprising, but it does, that the fact that there's no ability to say, you know what, I might think about it. There's this, oh, I'm intending to stand. And last week, Christopher Pyne getting very, you know, very uptight that, you know, you're not believing me and I'm saying this. And then a week later it happens. It's just, you know, that's part, I think, of the trust that's eroding as well, is that we know you don't actually mean what you say, and we try to call it out, and you get even huffier and nastier about it, but then it turns out to be true.
Yeah, and the other side of this is that, you know, it's not just a bad look, but it's actually, particularly Christopher Pyne's departure, is actually really a really substantial moment for the Parliament. He's been here a long time, but it's a real moment for the moderates in the Liberal Party as well. They're having a shocker at the moment. They've lost Turnbull, Bishop, Christopher Pyne, Kelly O'Dwyer, and probably Craig Laundy. The moderates want to have sway in the party. They don't want it to be taken over by conservatives. But there's going to have to be a new generation of moderate leadership that sort of rises from the ashes here. And I was talking to some people today and going, who does that look like? And, you know, people sort of scratch their heads to find who is the new broom in that sort of moderate wing.
All right, let's go through your other stories a bit more briefly because we've got our quiz coming up, guys. I'm going to be really frank with you. Let's Get Quizzical is one of the best moments of my week. Okay?
Yeah, people love quizzes. We do trivia once a week. It's fab.
People love it. All right, another story that you've been covering, Karen, and this would have been bigger news in quite a week.
Week almost. Oh, my goodness.
But we don't have those weeks anymore. Civil trial involving the AWU.
Yeah.
What has been revealed this week?
This is the whiteboards. This is the raids at the AFP. This should have it all.
This is the Michaelia Cash story.
Absolutely. This is Senator Michaelia Cash, who was in the witness box a week ago. You know, that's another extraordinary thing, that there's a minister of the Crown sitting there being cross-examined by lawyers from a union. Extraordinary stuff. But I have to say, you know, I'm going to evoke a bit of Winston Churchill here. You know, it's an enigma wrapped in a mystery inside, you know, whatever the heck it is. Like, this is something that even after 8-9 days of civil trial, very dense discussions by lawyers, where they keep evoking parliamentary privilege and contempt of parliament for stuff that's all on the hand side, you know, it's been web-streamed up the yin-yang. It's extraordinary stuff. We still can't figure out who actually tipped off the people to the, you know, this chain. And let's start. We're going to go backwards. We got a call here in the Melbourne newsroom of an afternoon saying, you better get a camera to the AWU, which came from the Canberra Press Gallery, our guys in the Canberra Press Gallery, which came from... that was, I think it was David DeGaris and Michael Tetlow from Keenan and Cash's office, which was, they were told by Ben Davies. Now, where it came from the Registered Organisations Commission, remembering this was the ROC investigating the AWU for these get-up donations back in 2006, $100,000. Bill Shorten was head of the AWU. He was also on the board of GetUp. And there was also a whole lot of money that went to various election campaigns, including Bill Shorten. So Michaelia Cash's fired off a couple of letters to The Rock, the very first investigation it does. She's the only minister who's only ever actually made a complaint to them, or a referral, I should say. And it's just been this extraordinarily dense, we can't, like, it doesn't seem to know yet who's actually said all this. Everybody's denying it, you know, and everybody knows it's political, except Michaela Cash sort of going to great lengths to weasel her way around saying, admitting this was about Bill Shorten. Oh, no, it's only about differences of policy. I mean, extraordinary stuff, but hard to get a, you know, much traction in the kinds of news weeks we've had.
It is incredible. And Bevan, you've been watching the government's announcements on climate change and renewable energy, which I've got to say are a big deal. And yet again, not lost, really getting the biggest run because of all the other stories, including, of course, the Cardinal Pell news, which was we've covered, which was really the biggest news of the week. But essentially three announcements this week, right?
Yeah, look, that's often the story with this government, that they actually try to do something on a policy front and then someone goes and sort of shoots themselves in the foot and it all gets blown off the front pages. There were three big things today this week. One was a go-ahead for Snowy Hydro.
Malcolm Turnbull's project, yep.
Yep. Another was around some pumped hydro projects in Tasmania, and another was about some energy efficiency projects and things like that. Clearly, the government is trying to pivot to climate change and the environment for two reasons, really. One is that they needed to actually demonstrate that how they intend to possibly meet the Paris commitments, and these projects will help with that. The second, really, though, is that they're trying to demonstrate to voters who are very sceptical about the government's position on climate change and the environment that they're not all a bunch of knuckle draggers on this issue. And that, to me, is really interesting, that they now realise that climate change politics, the politics of climate change, are a real threat to some people in some blue ribbon seats. And we're not talking marginal seats, we're talking blue ribbon seats with big, big margins. I think there's more to come on this, but you know, there is a pretty interesting theory running around that they may be making all these announcements to soften the ground for a decision on underwriting the investment in some projects, and that may well include some sort of coal-fired power plant. I'd be surprised if that happens, to be honest, because the economics of coal don't really stack up right now, but it will be interesting to watch. They're assessing some projects that have applied for that program, and there will be an announcement soon. So watch this space on that one.
And give me some recommendations before you go. Karen, Croatian television.
Absolutely. Come on. If you are not on SBS On Demand, you are just nowhere. This is sensational. It's called The Paper, Novine. And it's basically the hardest drinking, hardest smoking, hardest, am I allowed to say bonking on air? You know, yeah, like seriously, please. This newsroom has everything that our newsrooms used to have because they're clearly not working hard enough on news. Recommend it. Cannot get enough of it. It's fab.
Binge okay. It. All right. A Croatian, what's it called again?
It's called Novine, but it's called The Paper. If you just find The Paper.
The Paper.
It's about a newspaper.
I'm all over it. I love it. Great. I worked for one. Bevan, tell me, what are you going to do?
I'm going to put my phone down.
Hilarious.
Yeah, more and more of my friends are saying, yeah, we've been putting our phones down for 6 hours, walking away, turning it off, whatever, and their mood instantly lifts. Yep. So I'm gonna try. It's going to be tough. I think I'll have FOMO. Maybe a day without a phone could be a good thing.
Look, I do it occasionally and it's the best thing, honestly. My entire, it's like my soul is uplifted. Try it. Hey guys, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Karen Percy is an ABC Melbourne journalist and Bevan Shields is the federal editor for the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. And this is RN Drive.